Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we discuss the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football. As always, I'm Jeremiah.
Hey, I'm Anthony.
And we're back again, guys. And how are you today?
Good. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really well. It is really rainy.
Yeah.
Here in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a Friday. We have a lot to talk about today. We decided to do a free agency recap special.
Right.
So this is how we're going to play it out. We're going to discuss our favorite signings, teams that we thought improved the most, and teams that should have done more. And we're going to end the show off with a new segment called Good Idea, Bad Idea.
Mm-hmm.
So first, let's start off with our favorite signings. Well, I think my favorite signing, probably a little more underrated.
Sure.
But the reason why I like it is because they didn't sell, they didn't sign him for a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That is Terrell Pryor. Okay. I really do like Terrell Pryor going to the Redskins on a 1 year, believe it was an $8 million deal.
Just one of those, yeah.
I like that. It's a very good bargain move. It's a proven deal. And, you know, him making the transition to receiver last year, I'm really glad he finally did it because I thought when he was trying to be a quarterback, I didn't think he was very good. But I feel like he has too much of an athletic ability to not play in the NFL. So he finally did it, and he did really well. He drew over 140 targets. He had 77 receptions, had over 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if he was on a good team, he would have done more. Maybe if he had a better quarterback, he would have done a whole lot more. Remember, he played with like 500 quarterbacks last year.
Right.
He's playing with Kirk Cousins in Washington. I think his numbers are going to improve. And, you know, this was a huge signing for Washington because this is a team that lost 2,000-yard receivers from last year. Mm-hmm. And Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. So I like the idea of Terrell Pryor, Jamison Crowder, and Jordan Reed. They have a potential to be a really good offense in 2017.
The thing with Pryor is I like the dude. I think he showed a lot as a receiver. It's just kind of a hard thing to know whether or not it's going to stay that way, right? Like maybe he just got numbers on a bad team, right? Which Washington's probably going to be not any better of a team, but like, you know, they're probably not going to make the playoffs.
Well, he'll play with a better quarterback.
He'll play with a better quarterback for sure, but it's hard to, you know, tell if he's going to be able to keep this up. Because you can have 1 year where you're great, but if you do it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, that's when it's like, oh, okay, cool, you're actually a good player. Like, you don't have to be Calvin Johnson. You just have to be, I mean, even someone like a Santana Moss who had a good career but was never, like, an elite, elite receiver. If you can have that career for Terrell Pryor, that's fantastic. For mine, it's something just like a little bit kind of around the same lines you are. It's kind of like under the radar thing, and it's assuming that he's going to be healthy because he just literally got injured with Murray over in Minnesota. And he did a good job with Oakland. You know, last year he kind of split the carries a little bit, so he wasn't as good, but he's a 1,000-yard running back. And the reason why I like it the most is because you get Minnesota, who without Adrian Peterson last year were so bad. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I mean, you can hype up the whole team about, oh, Sam Bradford's going to be the guy that helped save us because you had to give a bunch of picks for him. Oh, you can, you know, the wide receivers, they'll be fine. Oh, the defense is great. Like, look at this defense. Pay no attention to everything else. Look at how good the defense is. Like, right, you can prop the team up like some kind of, like, son of LeVar Ball. You can make it to where it's just, like, all you're doing is trying to, like, prop up the defense. But the offense, not as good. At least with Murray, you give him a running back who's better than Asiata or anybody else that was on that team last year. So for that aspect, I really like it for them because if they thought they were basically a quarterback away, well, now you at least have a running back to go with it. So it's at least putting those pieces together to make a playoff run.
Okay. Me, I like the Latavius Murray signing, but I don't think he's going to be as productive as he would have been with the Raiders. It's because that O-line is just not the same.
It is bad.
It is bad. He's not going to have as good of a quarterback that he played with in 2016. I think it gives him a good shot to be a really good lead back because when he was in Oakland, they split time between three backs, between Murray, DeAndre Washington, and Jalen Richard. You know, in Minnesota, he can be the guy because Jerick McKinnon, Matt Asiata are not anywhere near the running backs that the Raiders have.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the Raiders, I actually like what they did. They haven't really made a real big splash in free agency. They did a lot of more like mid-tier type of players. You know, they signed Cordell Patterson, which is a move I like for them in the returning game. And I liked how they addressed the tight end position because I thought that was one of their weakest, you know, positions on that team. And they got Jared Cook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jared Cook has been looked at maybe among as potentially could be a top 10 tight end, but he hasn't got over that hump. He's finally playing with a good quarterback. He played with Aaron Rodgers, and his numbers weren't really all that great. And, you know, Green Bay, they passed the ball a lot. But I think with Jared Cook going to the Raiders, it adds another weapon to the Raiders offense. That's going to be a potentially good goal line offense.
Right.
Because when you got Michael Crabtree, who's a really good possession receiver, Amari Cooper, who's a big target in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got Jared Cook, who can be a big target in the red zone. And if they can add a running back through the draft, or they can get Marshawn Lynch, pretty good red zone team. I think they're going to score a lot of touchdowns. I do think Jared Cook's numbers are not going to be high. He's not going to get like over 1,000 yards.
Right.
But I think he can get a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. So we're talking about the moves that we like, and they're kind of under the radar. I mean, we could talk about something like an Odell Beckham Jr. finally getting Brandon Marshall. It's kind of his like Batman to Robin situation where it's just like, okay, I have another guy that you have to actually pay attention to. And it's going to make us so much better, right? All these moves, whether it's Jared Cook basically helping round out the Raiders' offense, whether it's Murray helping out Minnesota, whether it's Brandon Marshall going over to the Giants, all these moves make sense in some kind of way, shape, or form, right? This isn't like the Cleveland Browns where, who is it, the old GM for the Colts, Bill Polian, was over on ESPN basically confused about the whole thing, talking about how he didn't understand the move, right? Basically, because why would the Browns want somebody if they're not going to keep them? But the Browns are basically playing a different version. But everyone thinks they're crazy, right? Everyone thinks like the strategy that they have is some weird concept, right? But sometimes weird concepts are the ones that end up working out. I mean, if you were to tell somebody, hey, guess what? We're going to have a cartoon. It's called SpongeBob SquarePants. It's about a dude in the bottom of the ocean. He lives in the pineapple under the sea. Makes no sense. We're going to have a comic book about a dude named Captain Underpants. Makes no sense, but they make it, and it's successful. Sometimes, like, the weird ideas work out the best. So everything we're talking about that we like, I mean, the Browns could do the best thing ever by having Brock Osweiler. Maybe he all of a sudden turns it around, and he's a great quarterback, or they release him, and some other team wants him, and he's good somewhere else, but the Browns get the picks for him. Like, there's a lot of ways that this whole thing can end up working out.
Yeah, and man, what a great Captain Underpants reference there. We got one in the show.
Why not? Yeah,
that came out of left field there.
A little bit. But you understand. My point is just like things are weird, and sometimes weird things work.
Yeah, I do like the Brandon Marshall signing. That is going to help out that offense so much. I like what the Giants did.
Yeah.
This offseason mm-hmm. in free agency, they
kept Pierre-Paul allegedly, exactly. Even though he disputed it when it came out. Like, they're doing these things that make sense, you know, and they don't overspend on people, right? It's not like they're giving, you know, I'm trying to think of like some big name. It's not like they basically went after one of these like Ndamukong Suh type defensive players and just like, we'll give you all the money, and then it never ends up working out. Like, they're keeping their own players. They got Brandon Marshall, but it's not to a big contract. And it's like small little things that are potentially really beneficial for them.
Yeah, and I still think they're not finished.
Sure.
I think the running back position is something they're going to address, whether that's free agency or the draft. I kind of thought they would have been interested in Adrian Peterson.
Right.
But apparently, I guess they're not.
Yeah.
But I do like Paul Perkins there. I think he could be mm-hmm. a really good, you know, running back.
Yeah, the worst case scenario, he could be someone that, you know, they rely on because he had a good end of the year last year. It's just, you know, depends on how much they actually want Peterson, because teams seem to want him, just not at the price that he wants them to want him for.
Yeah, it remains to be seen what happens to Adrian Peterson. We'll Another signing I want to talk about is another tight end. Mm-hmm. That's Martellus Bennett going to the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers don't usually spend money on free agencies. Bennett signed a $21 million deal over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the signing. You know, he even said that, you know, he was going to free agency as a Super Bowl champion. You know they overpay for Super Bowl champions. So, you know, Martellus Bennett went in with that mindset that he was going to go overpay because he was on Super Bowl champion. I don't know about him being overpaid. 21 over 3 years, that's like $7 million.
It's not like ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not ridiculous. It's not Mike Glennon money.
Right.
So, you know, Martellus Bennett, you know, I do like this deal for the Green Bay Packers. You know, because he's coming from a great quarterback to another good quarterback. And Anthony, did you have something to say?
No, I was just trying, like, you seemed like you stumbled a little bit over there, like you had the idea and was like, oh,
well, because you're showing me something.
No, like, yeah. The thing is with Martellus Bennett, he's clearly decided, I want to play with good quarterbacks because it's more fun to play with them than it is to play with a Jay Cutler who you never really know if he's going to have a good game or a bad game. He's basically decided, you know, that it's something where, okay, cool, I want to play with Tom Brady. That was a lot of fun. Okay, let's go play with Aaron Rodgers. That seems like fun too. Like the next thing he's probably going to do is play with like Andrew Luck or something like that, right? He's just going to keep kind of doing that sliding scale of all these other kind of quarterbacks. Like, name a good quarterback. He's like, I don't care how much it costs to pay for you guys. I don't care what pick I have to do. I want to play with good quarterbacks because that seems like more fun, which I can totally understand because it's the whole thing of just like, do you want to have all the money or do you want to have some type of fun, right? Like, it's kind of a personal preference at this point. So I totally get what he's doing.
Yeah, and I know I did stumble upon there but a little bit, but let me get my thought out now that officially know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Okay, well, you know, I did say that he's going to go from a Hall of Fame quarterback to a potentially Hall of Fame quarterback. And, you know, this Green Bay Packers offense, they look a little bit more scary now. Martellus Bennett. I think Martellus Bennett's been more of the underrated players in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is known for his mouth, though, I'm not going to lie. But
right.
He kind of backs up. I think he's honestly one of the he's definitely a top 10 tight end, in my opinion. You know, he's not going to get you over like 1,000 yards, even though he did come close to that in 2014 with Jay Cutler as his quarterback.
Right.
That's Jay Cutler, folks. And, you know, he did only get like 700 yards, but he was on an offense that pretty much
had Gronk.
Pretty much had Gronk. Well, he was hurt most of the year, but pretty much like distributes the ball to literally everyone.
Right.
I actually think that it was a good thing for him to move on because, you know, with the Patriots getting Brandon Cooks now, I don't think there was anywhere for him to get any targets.
Sure.
So with Green Bay adding Martellus Bennett, it's scary because, you know, you got Jordy Nelson who really came back. Davante Adams, who emerged as probably a really top target. Randall Cobb, you know, he was very inconsistent, but can be really good. I think Martellus Bennett can be a really great red zone target for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun situation for him because, you know, you forget about the fact that he's a good tight end. He has a good situation for him. He also doesn't seem to be very afraid of what to say. Like, he's just going to say what he wants to say, but doesn't matter. Like, he's going to be very outspoken and very out there, kind of. It's just a new kind of way to go about it because everyone else there seems kind of scared, but he's just going to let it, you know, just going to let it ride, you know, Wu-Tang style. Like, let's just kind of go. We're going to say what we want, and if you don't like it, that's fine, but we're not going to change what we do. So hopefully he does well in Green Bay because I want to see him stay in the league for a little while and basically still him and his brother have the, you know, wherewithal and ability to say what they want because once you become not as good of a player, you can't talk as much, but they're still, you know, not the top of their position, but still pretty high up on that list.
Did you just say Wu-Tang style?
Wu-Tang, yes, I did.
What did you mean by that?
Wu-Tang's a little bit different from what they do, right? They're not like a normal thing or whatever else like that, but they got their own style and they're not afraid to do what they want to do. And, you know, the Bennett brothers seem to be that way in a little bit also.
No.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. I'm just being dumb. Wow, okay. We went from Captain Underpants to Wu-Tang.
It's a lot of things. Yes.
It's a lot. That's a lot. It's a lot going on there. All right, well, on that note, we're going to take our first break here. And when we get back, we're going to discuss teams that have improved the most through free agency. Well, we got a couple teams we want to talk about, and we will discuss all that when we get back from the Bonus to Me Concepts football podcast.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And welcome back to Going to Meet Concepts football podcast. And now we want to talk about teams that have improved this offseason. There's two in particular. Philadelphia, they added some receivers, especially they needed receivers after that. The way that this group played last year was atrocious. And Carson Wentz had, like, no help, but he still was productive, which was amazing in itself. But now, you know, the Eagles, they added Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith.
Right.
That's pretty good core of guys. You know, Torrey Smith, I kind of feel like his talent was being wasted in San Francisco. There's no way that they could have.
A lot of talent being wasted in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. But there was no way that there's no way he's going to be productive there. There was just no talent around him. He
right.
didn't have a very super productive quarterback. Even though Kaepernick did have really solid numbers, in my opinion, they just weren't good.
Right.
So I think with him going to Philadelphia is going to do really well for him because, you know, you have Alshon Jeffrey who's a possession receiver but can actually – he has some speed to him.
Right.
He has some speed to him, you know, and – he can definitely get those 50-50 balls, and he can be a red zone target. So I think from signing Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith, who is a deep threat, I think he's going to do great in this offense with Carson Wentz. This team improved a whole lot.
Yeah.
They needed to, especially with they're in a division with the Giants, who I think improved a lot too, and the Cowboys, who went 13-3, with two rookies. So they needed to make some moves to compete in this competitive division.
Right. They were the one team in the entire NFC East that was kind of like you were confused about, right? Because obviously the Cowboys, whether they're good or not, they're always going to be one of the number one teams to talk about because it's the Cowboys, it's Jerry Jones, it's all that type of stuff like that. Washington, you have a quarterback situation where they don't know if they love him or not. They just kind of have him around. And even the Giants, it's New York, technically New Jersey. But you have, like, the Eli Manning thing where, like, the Manning family are basically the Kennedys of the NFL. Like, you have all these different scenarios. What just happened?
Oh, no. Sorry. ESPN update. Sorry
okay.
about that, y'all.
And so you have the situation where the Eagles were the one kind of they were the other team in the division, right? Because you had a rookie quarterback. You didn't know if he was good. You had wide receivers who weren't good because Jordan Matthews was the number one guy, and he was dropping balls left and right. So it was kind of like a weird – like they were the fourth team relevancy-wise in the NFC East, right? Like, I mean, you could have all these other comparisons, whatever. Like, you know, they're like the Skechers with like the shoes. Like you have Nikes, Adidas, all these other things. Under Armour even has shoes. And you got Skechers in the kind of corner that are just kind of there. Philadelphia was just kind of there off into the corner. But now they actually have some wide receivers that can help out, right? Carson Wentz, probably the best thing – about him last year, like you said, was how well he did with the least amount of talent on that team, right? He was still a pretty good quarterback throughout the year. He was able to show that, you know, if you give him talent, he probably can do a lot better than he was, and he was still pretty good with what he was doing last year. So that's at least a positive thing going forward. And now, like you said, with somebody like Alshon Jeffrey, who maybe not the best receiver in the league, but probably like a top 10 to 15 wide receiver in the league. And Torrey Smith, not necessarily like a great receiver, but somebody for one specific job, really, really, really good at it. Like, he's something that, like, if you want him to have, you know, slant routes and everything else like that, or bubble screens, not the same, but the go route, got you. So for that part, he's really good at that.
Yeah, and another team, it's crazy how this team got better. The New England Patriots, I think they won the offseason. It is so, I think it's unfair. Wow. This is like kind of like the equivalent of a super team in the NBA. This is how it is. And they got guys like Stephon Gilmore, who they signed to like a I didn't even expect them to sign that type of contract. Because they don't sign guys like that.
They do not.
Stephon Gilmore, I think he's going to thrive well. I think he needed a change from Buffalo. You know, he just wasn't going to do well there. I don't even think he was. He looked like he was unhappy to me. And, of course, they got Brandon Cooks, who is probably the best receiver on this team, and especially the best receiver that Tom Brady has played with since Randy Moss. He has that type of skill set. He has speed. He's not as good as Randy Moss, but Brandon Cooks can be a really great receiver in this league. He's only 23.
And they still have, at least for the meantime, Malcolm Butler.
Malcolm Butler, exactly. And then, you know, the Patriots added Dwayne Allen as the second tight end in this offense. They added Coney Ealy in the trade.
Yep.
And then they were able to re-sign Dante Hightower.
Yep.
So
for cheaper than what the Jets and Steelers apparently wanted to sign him for.
Exactly. So I think they're the big winners of the offseason. And another signing that they made I like is Rex Burkhead.
Right.
A running back
kind of like an all-around kind of thing that you can use him for. Yeah. So like, what's your favorite like TV show like right now? Like, what's the show that you really like to watch?
Okay, on top of my head, favorite TV show.
Like, are you into like Game of Thrones or Walking Dead?
I am into those shows.
Okay.
But I think the one I've been watching the most on Netflix is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And we talked about Philadelphia. So
love that show. That show is really good. I've never actually watched that show all the way through. I kind of seen,
that's what I'm doing. I'm watching every episode all the way through.
Right.
And I'm telling you right now, it is the type of characters that are on that show.
Oh, Charlie's the best.
No, Charlie is the best. But like the type of characters on that show.
Terrible people.
They're terrible people. And I think it's the best show to I think it's very therapeutic. Because it makes me feel better about my life.
Right. It's like watching Cops.
Exactly.
It's like watching Cops
feel,
and all the
it
things.
It makes me feel better about my life. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not.
It's like watching a soap opera. It's like, oh, okay, cool. So my family's not dying in the hospital left and right, but then coming back from the dead. Like, oh, it's not. I'm not getting cheated on left and right. Like, it makes you feel better, right? I mean, the Patriots are kind of like a soap opera in a way because, like, it's always on every single day and it's always the same stuff. Patriots are always winning the division. They're always basically in contention every single year. It doesn't matter what the, you know, team is. It doesn't matter who the wide receivers are. It doesn't matter who the defensive player is. It's just kind of a situation where, you know, you see them, they're winning. It happens all the time. You're used to it at this point. It doesn't matter who they bring in. They're solid. They get through the year. They're going to be at least in the AFC Championship game. And if they win the Super Bowl, hey, another ring for Brady. Like, this is kind of how it goes for them. It's kind of a monotonous thing that we watch every single year. But it's impressive, if nothing else, man.
I think the biggest soap opera is the NFL. I think that's basically – and did you just drop a General Hospital reference?
Well, no, I don't. Like, soap opera in general. Like, the soap operas and everything else like that. But, I mean, like – the Patriots, like, they win all the time. Like, it's the same thing every single time. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Soap operas are on again. Like, you know, every single day they have it. Like, my grandma used to watch it all the time. Well, she still does. With Days of Our Lives. And when I was little, like, I would watch it with her. And I got into it for a little bit. And then, you know, it's – you can get into these things. But it's kind of the same thing. Oh, I'm dating this one person. Oh, she's in the hospital. Oh, she has amnesia. Oh, she came back. But you still get into it every single year. You still get wrapped up in it. The Patriots, every single year. Yeah, they're probably going to win the division. And then they do, and then they win the Super Bowl, and it's like, oh, wow. Like, you kind of expect it, but at the same time, it's still pretty amazing.
Well, oh, man, I forgot what I was going to say. So, you know, we're going to move on here. And I think we're going to take – you want to take the you want to take a break?
All right, we'll go come back. Excuse me. Oh, we'll be back right in a second. We're going to get a couple more things as far as NFL goes, a little more surprises that we didn't expect – to happen in the offseason. We'll be right back in the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. And we talked about teams that, you know, improved the most. We talked about our favorite signings and free agency. I want to talk about the teams that I thought should have done more. I'm going to go with the L.A. Chargers. It's still weird saying that, Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
But they haven't done a whole lot. I just felt like this was a team that really needed to make a splash in free agency, and they haven't done anything. They did re-sign some of their guys that were very important to that team, but they haven't been able to persuade people to go to L.A., and I just feel like, you know, they still have practically the same team. But you know what? Maybe that's not a bad thing because, you know, they weren't healthy. But, you know, they lost Monty Teo. He went to the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, they should have done more on the defensive side of the ball. That was their weak link last year.
The Saints are going to be a little bit better with Monty Teo. The Chargers have never necessarily been – I mean, when have they ever, like, spent a lot of money, right, on, like, free agents, right? Like, when they were good, the people that they had were kind of their own guys, right? LaDainian Thompson, Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates. Like, those people that they had, they never necessarily went out and spent a bunch of money on people, even Quentin Jammer and stuff like that. It was never anything that was just like, oh, we're going to spend a bunch of free agency. They're kind of like the Steelers in that aspect, only they're not as good at picking their own players after a certain point, right? The Chargers, they... It's a weird thing with the Chargers, too, because aren't they going to play in, like, a stadium that has, like, 30,000 people in it? Like, this whole season for the Chargers, and even the Rams as well, like, this whole L.A. experiment that they're basically they're doing, like, the equivalent of, like, with movies, how they do, like, the reload kind of thing, like, how they had, like, Friday the 13th come out in, like, 09. Like, they're doing the thing of just, like, they're relaunching these L.A. teams, and so far it didn't seem like people cared about the Rams. The Chargers have the thing where... You know, I mean, they're not bad because Phillip Rivers is still a good enough quarterback, but you got to, like, help the dude out, man. Like, you have to, like, give him some receivers. Like, you know, I understand it's, like, hindsight's 20/20, whatever, but, like, you couldn't have thrown the Saints a bone at all with the whole Brandon Cooks thing. Like, you couldn't have basically said, like, give us Brandon Cooks, that way we can help out Phillip Rivers. Like, you know, maybe they do well in the draft. Maybe they get an offensive lineman to basically protect Phillip Rivers. But, yeah, I mean, like, the Chargers... To this point, like, you would have hoped that they did just, like, a tiny, tiny bit more just to, hell, bring more excitement when they come to Los Angeles. Because this is the first year they're going to be in there, and they're just kind of like, all right, we got Phillip Rivers. What else we have? Eh. Like, Joey Bosa is amazing, and that's great, but, like, he's not going to, like, necessarily be J.J. Watt style where you go to watch him. Like, it's the quarterback that's going to do it, and Rivers is, yeah, but, like, he doesn't have anybody to throw to either, which just...
Well, he does have Keenan Allen.
Yeah, but he gets hurt all the time. Yeah. Like, that's not the same kind of thing. Like, yeah, you have him, and he's great, but, like, if he can't stay healthy, then it's still just Phillip Rivers down by 5 at the end of the game trying to go 80 yards to win the game, and he gets sacked at the 40-yard line, and up, game's over. Like, that seems to be how he basically does these things. Like, he tries his best, but the team's so bad that they're always down 5 with, like, 2 minutes to go trying to win the game, driving 80 yards down the field, and it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. So honestly, Chargers really need to have a good draft.
Mm-hmm.
They do. I actually think they might actually take a flyer on one of the quarterbacks in the draft. I really do think so. Because remember, Phillip Rivers is getting older.
He's not young.
And they're in LA, so they have to get one of those guys. I think to revitalize, possibly maybe that city.
Maybe.
Another team I thought that should have did a whole lot more. Especially with the division that they're competing in, the Arizona Cardinals. They haven't really done a whole lot. They did franchise tag Chandler Jones, but they lost Calais Campbell, who signed a fat contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They didn't really do a whole lot to improve their offense. John Brown, he probably one of their best receivers. He's always hurt. Larry Fitzgerald's coming back, but he's getting up there in age. Yes. Carson Palmer's coming back, but he's about to be 38.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done a whole lot, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They lost Tony Jefferson in free agency as well. So honestly, it looks like that Super Bowl window, I think it might be pretty much closed right now. I think it might just, when you crack the window, I think the door just cracked right now for the Super Bowl window. It's literally 2 inches away from closing.
See, the thing with them is, you have to have faith in the quarterback, right? That's the thing above everything else, because you have people like Tyrann Mathieu. You have people like Ndiaye, who they drafted last year. You have Fitzgerald, who's still a bona fide slot receiver that you have to worry about. You have people on the team who, matter enough to where you have to focus on them because they have actual talent on the roster. The problem is you don't know if the quarterback's any good. And, where they're drafting is 13th in the draft, and that's not necessarily where the quarterbacks are going to go. I understand that Mel Kiper had his draft, and he's I think Trubisky's going to go 12 and Dalvin Cook or Deshaun Watson's going to go 13th. Yeah, they'll probably go higher than that because that's how quarterbacks go. They get drafted high. So 13th, unless they want to trade up and get one of those two quarterbacks, this all hinges on whether or not Carson Palmer can be what he was 2 years ago before the playoffs. Because basically once the playoffs started, whoo, so bad. And then this year, no, it's fine. Yeah, he had a bad year, but everything will be fine. And then, nope, dynamite goes boom, team's bad, and now all of a sudden we're basically assuming that they're not going to be as good of a team when if they have a quarterback that can be any kind of competent. If they all of a sudden go after Tony Romo, or they decide to tell the Patriots, all right, man, look, you win whatever you want, give us Garoppolo, then all of a sudden they could be back in the NFC Championship game, right? It just, one guy can basically swing this whole thing for him potentially.
Yeah, and when I talk about teams that feel like should have done a whole lot more, there's a lot of teams I feel like they should have done a whole lot more, but there's so much cap space to go around. But you know what? We got to start a new segment here. I want to play a game.
Okay.
Anthony.
All right, Saul.
The reason why I want to do it today, it is Friday. I want to end the Friday, and I want to end the weekend show, well, the show leading to the weekend.
Right.
On a very good note. And maybe a fun note, too. So, fun Friday. It is fun Friday
fun
here.
Fun Friday.
So, we're going to play a little game called Good Idea, Bad Idea. I'm going to ask three questions, or Anthony can ask me three questions, whatever how we do this. I think I'm asking the questions today.
Okay.
So,
let's go.
I got
three
questions, and we're going to discuss if it's a good idea, bad idea.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah, go.
Cool. All right.
All right.
So,
it should be fun.
Should the Browns draft a quarterback in the first round?
No.
You didn't even finish the question.
Sorry. That was just a reflex with the Browns. Should the Browns? No.
Good idea.
So, should the Browns draft a quarterback in the first round?
Yeah, good idea or bad idea?
I mean, what's the question specifically? Should they draft this specific round? Because I think next year when they're going to be bad again because Browns.
I'm talking about this year.
This year, no.
Because even at the 12th pick?
Even the 12th pick. The reason why I say that is because there's not – next year allegedly has some good people in the draft, right? Sam Darnold, Jake Browning, people like that who you have high hopes for. Now, maybe that goes down a little bit if they do bad this year. But – the people that they have this year, Watson might be that dude and Trubisky might be that dude. There might be people that are just kind of mid-tier quarterbacks that end up doing the Russell Wilson style and just all of a sudden elevating themselves, right? People do that all the time. Chris Pratt went from some dude over in Parks and Rec to all of a sudden he's Guardians of the Galaxy. And, oh, my God, he's great. And no one really saw him being the super, super, super megastar, even though he was really funny in Parks and Rec. You can have things where people all of a sudden come out of the blue. But for the Browns, look, take a veteran quarterback for a year. If it works, it works. If it doesn't and you're still bad again, which you'll probably be bad again, you're going to be a high draft pick and then take one of the other quarterbacks next year that's one of those, like, potentially surefire guys. Like, I do that more than just throwing everything at Mitchell Trubisky and hoping that he beans the guy, he's the guy that pans out.
Really? So you don't think they should go with the hometown boy and Trubisky?
I mean,
Mr. Biscuit there?
So I am hesitant because...
Oh, I'm sorry. Mitchell Trubisky.
I mean, they, yeah, right. It's Mitchell Trubisky. That's weird. I think if it was any other team, like the Vikings, the Bengals, the Steelers, anybody else, I'd be like, yeah, draft him. He'll be fine. The Browns, man. Like, the Browns, I don't – they're going to mess it up. Like, there's literally jerseys that have, like, all the quarterbacks' names on them since 1999, and that list is long, and it is not strong.
That's so funny. All right. Okay, next question in this,
all right, let's go.
In this game. All right. Should the Saints sign Johnny Manziel? Good idea, bad idea?
Bad. Like, long story short, it's a bad idea.
Okay.
Because I think we talked about this yesterday, like, you know, if they were the Green Bay Saints or if they were the...
The Green Bay Saints.
Well, I'm saying, like, if they were the Green Bay Saints or if they were the...
oh, you're saying they played in another city.
Right, okay, if they were the right. Tennessee Saints or, you know, if they were the, you know, Rhode Island Saints. Like, a small team, like a thing where it's just like, okay, Johnny, like, you can't really do a lot of stuff here. You can't really get into trouble. You're going to drop him in Mardi Gras? You think that's a good idea? Like, I feel like, you know, fine, he may not be in Los Angeles. Also, New Orleans, not much different. Like, also kind of a crazy city. They let you just, like, walk around with, like, an open six-pack for no reason. Like L.A.'s weird because they got paparazzi. New Orleans is weird because it's just basically like, why do you have a full bottle of Jack in your hand? Because I wanted a drink. And they don't stop you. They just let you keep going. It's weird. That whole city's weird. So putting him in there with his past... Not the best idea. And for the Saints, like, why? For who? For what? Like, what? What's the reason why you're actually going to do that? Just because you want to, like, sell some more tickets? Like, it's not like he's going to play, and you're going to have people, like, swarming around you in the media, so it's probably not a smart idea for him, for that team either. The only reason why it would help is because he's the backup, and clearly the backup, and you basically spin it as – he's going to watch. He's going to basically be a guy that just kind of shadows Drew Brees and learns how to be a professional. That's the only positive way you can spin this for him. And I don't know if that balances out everything else.
I'm going to go the opposite. I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
I think he could be a really good, capable backup,
mm-hmm.
especially for Drew Brees, and especially that type of offense. I think he can learn to play in the pocket from Sean Payton. I think Sean Payton, you know what? We've seen all the success that he had. Sean Payton, you know... The Saints haven't been good on defense, but you can argue that they've been great on offense. And I think that's a part to Sean Payton there. He's been a really good, you know, quarterback guy. And I know he has Drew Brees. I know that. But we saw how this team played that one year when Sean Payton was suspended. They just were a different team.
Sure.
But, you know, getting back to Johnny Manziel here, he can learn from Drew Brees. You know, we can learn from Sean Payton. You know, he doesn't have to start because I think Drew Brees has at least 2 to 3 good years left in him.
Right.
And, you know, you might have to change your offense around for Johnny Manziel. But, you know, I think this is a type of coach that can play to his strengths. Mm-hmm. So, speaking, I think it would just be fun to see Johnny Manziel play in the preseason in the Saints uniform.
I mean, yeah, no, it would be fun. I can't argue with
but
that.
But I do agree that the New Orleans is not the best city for him.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so, Anthony.
Yeah.
Panthers extend Jonathan Stewart to a 1-year deal. Good right. idea, bad idea?
I mean, like, what, hold on. Here's the thing, though. With Jonathan Stewart, like, Jonathan Stewart is, like, a fine enough running back, right? He is somebody who, you know, is going to probably get a lot of records for the Carolina Panthers because he's been there for, like, 50,000 years. But, like, I mean, he has. Like, that dude, but it was him.
That team wasn't even around that long.
Semantics. It's fine. Like, Jonathan Stewart's been in the league legitimately for 10 years, and all of them is going to be with the Carolina Panthers. Like, this is going to be his 10th year. And he, in those 9 years so far, has 6,600 yards rushing for his career, which, as a running back goes, pretty good. Like, not Hall of Fame or anything like that, but you had a really good career. You know, you had 45 touchdowns. You had a very solid career. Problem is, only one of those years you ever had more than 1,000 yards. And only another year he had over 900 yards rushing. So it's like because he split time with D'Angelo Williams a lot. Like, I don't know why you're doing this. Like, they brought back Julius Peppers too, right? They're trying to, like, cling to the past or something. Like, I'm not really 100% sure what they're doing. Like, you have Cam Newton. I feel like they're doing the same thing with, like, the Colts did all the time where it's like, hey, we got Peyton Manning. We'll be fine. Hey, we got Andrew Luck. We'll be fine. Hey, we got Cam Newton. We'll be fine. Sure, but you probably need a better running back to run the ball than Jonathan Stewart, considering the fact that he was born in 1987, and, you know, that makes him 30, or at least he will be by the time the season starts. And maybe you should kind of start looking at a younger running back, maybe, even if they did it for, like, a short contract, because I'm not sure exactly what the contract was. You know, you probably should look other directions. Like, he's fine. But, I mean, last year the dude had 824 yards rushing, which is nice, but also, again, 30. Like, you probably should go younger.
Yeah, I think it's a bad idea, too. There's so many running backs that you can get in the draft this year.
Right.
I think Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
I think it can be great, but I think Jacksonville might pick him at number 4.
Yeah, but there's like five guys.
But if Jacksonville does pass on Fournette, I don't know why I'm saying his name with that L still. Fournette, I think he can go all the way to the Panthers at number 8. But we'll just say Fournette is in the top 5. This is a great running back class.
Trade down and get McCaffrey. Trade down more and get Mixon. Like, there's a bunch of things you can do.
You can get Dalvin Cook. Don't forget about him.
Right.
You got the dude from Tennessee, Alvin Kamara. We always forget about him for some reason. He gets lost in the sauce. Joe Mixon, yeah, he's not going to go first round.
I like that phrase, by the way.
What, lost in the sauce?
Yeah.
You never heard it?
No.
Oh, I like that. Wow, okay.
It's lost in the sauce. I'm going to use
lost
that.
Lost in the sauce?
It's pretty good, actually.
And then that's the name of the episode. I'm kidding. That's not the name of the episode. But I do think, I was saying Joe Mixon is not going to be a first rounder. He has way too much baggage, but I do think he is a talented player. Christian McCaffrey could be a really good player for, I think, any team. I think they just have to use him properly.
Right.
He's not going to be the guy that's going to be a downhill runner. He's not going to be a bruiser. No, he's a guy that you can get in space. Dalvin Cook, I think he's one of those really rare three-down backs that you can put in any type of offense. I think he's one of those guys. So, honestly, I think they should have just waited till the draft. But, you know, maybe they're doing this for depth in case they do want to go that route.
I mean, if
Jonathan Stewart won't be a bad number 2 option.
No, if he's your second string, that's fantastic. Like, if he's your second running back, like, that's really good. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, it's, I mean, I guess he's going to finish his career off with Carolina Panthers, and that part's nice because it's kind of like he's one of, like, the, you know, big Panthers of all time, like, one of the most historic ones, even though the franchise itself is kind of young. Like, I get it in that aspect, but if that's all you do, like, that's not helping anybody considering you got a quarterback who just had rotator cuff surgery and kind of is a big guy that runs into people a lot, and that doesn't translate to being in the NFL for a long time, so you probably should start winning. And if this is the only running back that they have as far as, like, the number one guy, like, I don't really know why you did this. It seems kind of strange.
All right. Well, you know, that was a good segment, a good idea, bad idea. I think we're.
That's like, I kind of liked it. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, man. I think this, we need to add some music every time we do this. Man, we need to get like some. I don't know why we don't have music when we do these segments. We need to start adding it. I'm going to have to talk to the head honcho about that.
Right.
But that's going to. I was going to say include. I was going to say that includes. No, that's going to conclude our show, guys. We'll be back. Well, I will be back on Monday. You won't be here. You'll be lost in the sauce again.
I'll be lost in the sauce until Wednesday.
Yeah, you'll be returning. But I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in. As always, I'm Jeremiah.
And I'm Anthony.
And thank you for tuning in to the Go Instant Media Concepts Football Podcast. You guys have a great day.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can
can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.